Good morning. It is great to be home. We had a great time, but you know, there comes a time when you say it's time. And it was time, and we're glad to be back. We started yesterday with VBS, so we were here yesterday. But we had renewing and refreshing, but I just want you to know, I think we're about 7 to 10 pounds heavier because there was not food that we did not eat. And we shared desserts, but we didn't share one, we shared two. And Wild Man wanted to share 8 the last night. I said, absolutely not, we're not doing that. So, and we want to thank you for welcoming our daughter and our granddaughter. They felt welcomed. They felt the hospitality that you gave to them. And we appreciate her being able to be here. And so thank you very much for greeting them in that way. Be now in the Holy Spirit as we worship and hold in reverence our Lord through our praise and glorifying of Almighty God. With word and sacrament and sacred music and prayer and the presence of all of you as the body of Christ, glory to God for each one of you. We are thankful that you are here. Now let us prepare to be aware of the presence of Jesus. Let go of all that distracts you from this place. Take a big, deep breath in as the breath of God and let go of everything that takes you from this place, body, mind, or spirit. Now, God's blessings be with you in body and mind and soul. If you look on the back of your bulletin, we have some exciting things. Every Sunday is exciting. In particular, we have a Sunday school class that is between first service and second worship of God. And we're going to do something a little different. We're going to do another kind of Sunday school. And Beth, do you want to describe that? Beth is chair of our Christian Ed department.
Hi, everybody. We're doing what we're calling basic training, which is brothers and sisters in Christ. And we will be staying after church today. We have a lot of different foods, so come and enjoy some food and a little bit of singing. And then we will break into different groups and do a little Bible study and some fun activities, too. So stay with us. We're going to do this week. Next week is Labor Day, so we won't be meeting. Then we'll meet a week. Then we'll have another week off for the church picnic, and then we'll do another week. So we'll do about 3 weeks, and then we'll have a little break and do some other things. So.
Yeah.
Thank you.
So please, I know that we
also say thanks to all the high school kids that came yesterday for Vacation Bible School. I tell you, we had about 4 to 6 high school kids jumping in that bounce house off and on all day. So it was a pretty good time.
Yes, it was a very good time. I highly encourage all of you to participate in Vacation Bible School. Every time, this is the first time I've experienced this, every time we have Vacation Bible School, any of the adults and the teenagers and anyone who's helping, they participate in it. And so it's so much fun. And just try to think about that the next time. Don't say to yourself, I'm too old or I'm not going to be doing anything. And we would welcome your presence. And so that is, it was a joy-filled time. Our praying group will not meet today, but I'm inviting those that come to that praying group to be a part of basic training, which is brothers and sisters in Christ. And so if you'll come, and if you're not going to be with the potato head woman back there, that's part of what she's doing with the body of Christ. You will be in, if you're a child, you'd be in the younger group or in the teens, but you could also be in the group that I will lead, and we will do some praying, and we will do some, and we'll have some lesson. So please come and join us. Just come for lunch. We have so much food, we would be joy-filled if you did that. We'll have our Wednesday 10 a.m. Praying group, so please plan to attend that. And then we have Thanksgiving for these beautiful flowers from Catherine Jones' funeral. Her daughters wanted us to enjoy them, and they look so like her. My experience of her. So they are here, and we acknowledge the beauty of them, and we will say something in prayer during prayer time about her passing. If you've ordered crosses, the crosses are here. We've placed them on the Holy Communion table, and so the whole experience of worship of God will be surrounding them. If you have ordered them, please come and pick them up. If they go away, we will just keep replenishing those, and we will always pray over them. And then they are hand crosses, and they fit right into your hand for joy and for concern. So please come and get the cross after the worship of God. CWF board meeting is on Thursday at 1 o'clock. That's September 1st. Can you believe it's September already? I cannot believe that. And then we will start an acolyte program in September. It will be September 6th at 5 p.m. So if you have children between the ages of 5 and 12, they most certainly can participate in that. They bring in the light of Jesus. They take the light of Jesus out. They learn what all of that means. They will carry crosses. They will carry the Holy Scripture in. And it is something to help them be able to connect with worship, adult worship, and worship for themselves, and to be a part of the leadership of worship. And so just keep that in mind. You don't have to sign them up, just to show up with them. Any others? Yes, Janie.
First, I want to introduce Nara Lee from IU, and please stand. And we are looking at him to be our organist. We're going to be talking with him today, so if you are near him or you come by and see him, thank him for coming and visiting us. I'm also going to introduce again Joshua David Harper. And Joshua has agreed to be our choral director, and choir starts
this Thursday.
Woo! Yeah, Thursday at 7. If you have not signed up, there is a sign-up sheet there, and it's important because I want you to put your email address and phone number so that Joshua has all that information and can get a hold of you. Okay, the third thing on my list is Janet prepared our church picnic board. Woo! So we have our sign up for that, and there are different ways. What did you put on there?
Salad, vegetable, or dessert.
Salads, vegetables, or dessert, because we are providing the meat. So it'll be a great time. It's going to be at the Senior Center. We're going to have chauffeured parking. And so if you want to leave your car where it's parked for church, then I have chauffeurs that I'm going to sign up, and they're going to drive you the whole block down to the Senior Center because there's not very much parking down there. We'd like to reserve that parking for people that are that have special needs and need to be closer like that. And I think that's anything else, Janet? Okay. Pardon? Oh, so sorry. Dana and Jim are providing the fun and games, and there's going to be lots.
Oh,
so I understand headband is one of the games. So if you're not familiar with that, it's tricky, but it's fun. All right, we'll see you there.
September 18th. Yes. September 18th, put that in your calendar. It's going to be first rate. I mean, where else can you go for free chauffeuring anywhere? So it's very, very nice. And then games by Jim and Dana. I mean, who else could do it better, right? So please plan on coming and bringing your family along with you. The other thing is, downstairs, we have lots of goodies. And these goodies are to benefit the organization Kick It for homeless teens. And so it is good for you to know that you, if you want to give a free will offering, and then you just select whatever it is, and they all look very, very good. So they're downstairs on a table. Please avail yourselves to those, okay? Anything else? All right. Autumn, would you lead us in our call to worship of God? Would you stand, please?
How very good and pleasant it is when kindred live together in unity. May we all be eager to flourish unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. Our opening hymn is They'll Know We Are Christians, page 494.
Now let us greet one another as brothers and sisters in Christ. Thank you.
1 Corinthians 12, 12 through 26. You can easily enough see how this kind of thing works by looking no further than your own body. Your body has many parts, limbs, organs, and cells, but no matter how many parts you can name, you're still one body. It's exactly the same with Christ. By means of his one spirit, we all said goodbye to our partial and peaceful lives. We each used to be independently, call our own shots, but then we entered into a large and integrated life in which he has the final say in everything. This is what we proclaimed in the word and action when we are baptized. Each of us is now a part of his resurrection body, refreshed and sustained at one fountain, his spirit, where we all come to drink. The old labels we once used to identify ourselves, labels like Jew or Greek, slave or free, are no longer useful. We need something larger, more comprehensive. I want you to think about how all this makes you more significant, not less. A body isn't just a single part blown up into something huge. It's all the different but similar parts arranged and functioning together. If the foot said, "I am not elegant like hand, embellished with rings, I guess I don't belong to this body," would that make it so? If ear said, "I'm not beautiful like eye, limpid and expressive, I don't deserve a place on the head," would you want to remove it from the body? If the body was all eye, how could it hear? If all ear, how could it smell? As it is, we see that God has carefully placed each part of the body right where he wanted it. But I also want you to think about how this keeps your significance from getting blown up into self-importance. For no matter how significant you are, it is only because of what you are a part of. An enormous eye or a gigantic hand wouldn't be a body, but a monster. What we have is one body with many parts, each its proper size and in its proper place. No part is important on its own. Can you imagine eye telling hand, "Get lost, I don't need you," or head telling foot, "You're fired, your job has been phased out"? As a matter of fact, in practice, it works the other way. The lower part is more basic and therefore necessary. You can live without an eye, for instance, but not without a stomach. When it's a part of your own body you are concerned with, it makes no difference whether the part is visible or clothed, higher or lower. You give it dignity and honor just as it is, without comparisons. If anything, you have more concern for the lower parts than the higher. If you had to choose, wouldn't you prefer good digestion over full-bodied hair? The way God designed our bodies is a model for understanding our lives together as a church. Every part dependent on every other part. The parts we mention and the parts we don't. The parts we see and the parts we don't. If one part hurts, every other part is involved in the hurt and in the healing. If one part flourishes, every other part enters into exuberance.
Thank you so much. The children are invited to go to Sunday school at this time. Take a big deep breath. Let it all out. We're about to go into a time of prayer, a time when we share our joys with one another so that they might be multiplied, and a time when we share our sorrows and our concerns and our troubles, our worries among our brothers and sisters in Christ so that they might be divided and the burden of carrying them be lighter. And so I will share some with you that I have, and then I will invite you to share any that you might want to lift up. The first is a blessing. I ask blessings on Joshua David Harper, who is our new choral director. We give thanks to God for you answering the call and saying yes to serve and consecrate back to God your wonderful gift. And so we lift you up to the Lord and we pray, O Lord, hear our prayers. We mourn the passing of Catherine Jones. She passed away this last week, and her funeral was yesterday. We ask prayers for her daughters and son-in-laws and grandchildren and family and friends who knew and held her as beloved, as many of us who knew her held her. And so we lift them up for healing and comfort, and we pray, O Lord, hear our prayers. We pray for the broken hearts and mourning of Terry and Bruce Widener upon the passing of their dear friend, Mark Davis, and his wife and family as they mourn his passing. And we lift them up to the Lord, and we pray, O Lord, hear our prayers. Gordon Dunn had a medication adjustment episode this last week, and he is better. And so we pray a prayer of praise, and we pray, O Lord, we hear praise. Bob Fair is better after surgery and recovering well, and we continue to hold him for swift healing, and may he and Eileen both have the stamina and the good rest that they need for this time of their lives. And we pray, O Lord, hear our prayers. We pray for continued well-being of Norval and Margaret, who are with us. I don't know whether they were here last week, but I'm glad to see them. I'm so pleased to have you back among us. And we pray, O Lord, hear our praise. We continue to pray for Barb and husband Don. Barb is Bill's sister, who's undergoing cancer treatment. Please let us continue to pray for Barb and Don and Bill and Janie as their family experiences this hard time with her. And we lift them all up to the Lord, and we pray, O Lord, hear our prayers. We pray for those that protect and serve and their families. May they know God through our prayers, and we lift them up, and we pray, O Lord, hear our prayers. Are there any others that you would like to lift up? Yes. Oh, my. Oh, Stacia. Yes. Yes. Wow. Oh, Stacia. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yes. Well, we lift up this family. I don't know whether you could hear Stacia, but two good friends of hers who've had spouses that have passed away in the last 24 hours. So we lift up their spouses, their families, and people who love them, and just ask some comforting that comes through the hands and the feet of other people in the name of God. And so we lift them up to the Lord, and we pray, O Lord, hear our prayers. Thank you, Stacia. Anyone else? Okay. Let's bow our hearts before our Lord. God of all there is, you call us into the body of Christ where we belong, where we look around at brothers and sisters in Christ and see them as one in you. We give thanksgiving for this place of belonging. We give praise for this place of being closer to your heart, O God, our Creator, our Sustainer, our Savior. You call us to be builders, to build our lives, to restore broken places, and continue to grow in Christ, your Son, our Redeemer. God, you call us to build our faith, to study the word and ponder its interpretation for the living of our lives. O Lord, who calls us to build our community, to build bridges of understanding and systems of justice, we pray that you give us the strength, the wisdom, and the ability. God, who calls us to build history by fulfilling the promises of Holy Scripture, to preach the good news of your love and liberation for all people, O Lord, hear our prayer. We confess our brokenness as an offering of our trust in your love and forgiveness. Cleanse our hearts, O merciful God. God of our restoration, whenever we come home to you, we realize how far we have gone away and how much we have forgotten of your law and your love. Forgive us, heal us, and restore us to our right relationship with you. O Lord, hear our prayer. God, you have told us that your word does not come to condemn us, but to make us wise, reviving our souls and rejoicing our hearts. Thanks be to you, our Lord God. God of prophets and apostles, you call us to restore that which is broken and to proclaim your vision of a world made new. Create in us new hearts and strong voices as we pray, God, fill us with your power of your spirit. We pray for those who are poor of spirit and in need of assistance, and for ourselves, that we may open our hearts to their cries for help. God, fill us with the power of your spirit. We pray for those who are captives of war and victims of violence. May we bring them good news, both in word and deed. God, fill us with the power of your spirit. We pray for those with physical challenges and spiritual struggles. Make us agents of healing and hope. God, fill us with the power of your spirit. Now, God, make us one body of the risen Christ, united in all our diversity. Energize us with your spirit that together we may work toward your realm now and your coming kingdom. In unity, we pray the prayer that Jesus taught in his name. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not to temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. A time of offering, a time of stewardship. Our God calls us together in the body of our risen Christ. May these gifts that we give create unity and further God's reign in this world. May we give freely and completely out of our love of God for God's purposes.
We thank you, Father, that each one of us, without expectation, is part of the body of Christ. Whether we are children, young or old, male or female, rich or poor, we have been given gifts by the Holy Spirit. We ask that you teach us to grow and connect with each other and become one body, a body that discovers how to use their gifts to serve you and fulfill our mission and calling in life. Father, we experience your blessings every day, and your blessings are always given to us freely and with ultimate love. May we love you and enough to give you what is already yours. In your precious and holy name, amen.
Thank you.
Thank you, Leanne, for consecrating back to God that beautiful voice. We're going to talk about that a little bit here in Scripture today. Praying that we be blessed with an understanding of the message that you would have us receive into our hearts and our lives. May the words that I share be pleasing in your sight, and may it enter into their spirit, taking it from this unity of Christ out into the world to make it a better place for themselves as well as for the world. It is in the sweet and loving name of Jesus that we pray and ask these things. Amen. Here in God's Word this morning is one of the most famous pictures of the unity of the church. It is written, and it is a fascinating thing, that the body is used to name the church, to describe what the church should be like. People are always fascinated by the way in which the different parts of the body cooperate. The human body has 206 bones, 639 muscles, and about 6 pounds of skin, unless you're a little heavier like I am. Along with the ligaments, the cartilage, the veins, the blood, the arteries, and fat, and much, much more. Every time we hear a sound, every time we take a step, every time we breathe a breath, hundreds of different parts work together so that we experience one single movement. This from our minds and our bodies working as one unit. Think of that. Think of that miracle that our bodies are to this world. If you've ever been in an intensive care and watched anything, any of the vital signs going up and down and all the different parts working, when one is failing, another part steps up, ramps up. Now, sometimes it wears out that part and we get a domino effect, but the body is always trying to balance itself. Even the greatest engineers struggle to make something that's this divine in mechanical form. The human body represents one of the most complex systems in the universe. That is why the body is one of the most powerful images of the church ever offered in Holy Scripture. This image gives us both the complexity and the natural wholeness of the unity of one body. So Paul draws us this picture, the body of Christ, and in it is essential unity. For example, we say, I have a headache, or my head hurts. And you might say, well, when my head hurts, my teeth hurt. Or when I ache in my knees, my whole body aches. The I in this statement of I have pain is like Christ is to the church. In him, all the different diverse parts find their unity. Without Christ at the center, we would just be diverse people. Paul writes, you are the body of Christ. There's a tremendous thought there Christ is no longer in this world in bodily form. So if there's a task to be done within this world that Jesus wants done, he assigns a person or a group of people to do it. If he wants a child to be taught, he sends them to a teacher. If he wants a sick person to be cured, he gives them a doctor or a surgeon. If he wants a story told, he sends a storyteller. Literally, we are the body of Christ. Hands to do his work, feet to run his errands, a voice to speak for him in this world. Now listen to this, because I think it's one of the most important. Our supreme glory on this earth is that we are part of the body of Christ. In fact, I don't even think we should call it a church, because that can sound like a building or something out here. We are unified in Christ. We are the body of Christ. That is a privilege, an honor, and a responsibility. So Paul describes a healthy body. He wants us to know not just that we are the body of Christ, but we are to be healthy. And here are some ways that he thinks that that might happen. First, we must realize that we need one another. Now, how do we know that we need one another? If we're healthy of body, mind, and spirit, you may think you don't need anyone else in this congregation. But you're never going to be healthy body, mind, and spirit, even if it's for a short period of time. There's always something out of balance, because that's why we need balance within our congregations, within our own selves, because that's how we stay living. And so here he says that we are to know that we need one another. There are going to be times when you're going to have something horrific. It may be this morning. It may have been last night. It may have been this last week or this last year that still weighs heavy on your heart. And you come in and you feel empty. And you want to worship God, but you just don't feel it right now. But you sit shoulder to shoulder with people that aren't having that in their lives right now. And it gives you hope. And you feel the Spirit in them. And they come up and they say, you know, when you said that thing to me, that meant a lot to me. And your whole spirit changes. Your whole attitude changes. That's part of being part of the body of Christ. Respect. Vitally important. Respect. Each part is vital, no matter how much or how little we do. When one part ceases to function or isn't functioning as well, other parts can step in if they are allowed to. It's hard when you are in control to give that up. But God is telling us that the body of Christ is to take care of one another. So sometimes we have to step back and let someone else take that over for a while. All service ranks the same for God, because we are given gifts by God, and God has chosen us to be Tabernacle Christian Church. Every part of this body of Christ is here because, I believe, because God has called us to be here together. God called you here. Nobody told you that it was going to be, or these young men that just sort of walked in the door. God called us to be here together. God knows what our gifts are, what our talents, our natural God-given talents are. So God will bring us together, and God will use us to work in the world for the greater good. So the service ranks the same in God's eyes. If we get too full of ourselves, we may lose the Christ in our work. And it's easy to do. If you're good at something, really good at something, and other people aren't as good at it, you may think it's supremely important. And it may very well be. It may very well be. But it may take the Christ out of the work. Sympathizing with one another. Looking at one another when one falls down and one needs the healing Autumn read that part about when one suffers, that we all gather around for their healing. It is the Spirit of God working through us and that call to this place. This is the real unity in the body of Christ. Often people will have difficulty in naming their place in the church. You ever have somebody say to you, what do you do in the church? When you're a preacher and you're getting ready or you're going into seminary and they ask, what kinds of work have you done in the church? What kind of positions have you held in the church? They're asking, what part of the body of Christ are you? What gifts do you have that people have recognized that you use those gifts? Or what gifts do you recognize and you offer them up? And so other people may look at you and say, this is what you're good at. But you may be saying, no, 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 that's not what I'm good at. It may just be your ego saying, I don't want to do that. But the gift is there and it is given. But if you say to people, whether they're children or teens or adults of all ages, are you the hands or the feet or the nose or the funny bone? People can understand that. They can say, I run everywhere and do errands. People can say, I can speak in front of people. I can sing in front of people. And so you can identify how you might use voice or hearing or running. Good listeners. I have gone and visited I don't know how many people in my lifetime. And I've sat by their bedside there as a clergy person and thought that I was doing something really great for them. That's why I went. And I walk away and I'm fed. And my spirit soars, not because of what I did, but because they fed me. My work, I thought, was to go, and God brought us together. So God brings us into this body of Christ. Now, the Corinthians were struggling. If you read the letters that Paul writes to the Corinthians, you can see they've had a lot of trouble. And I've never served a church that didn't have trouble, didn't have conflict. It's just part of our human nature. We may be unified in Christ, but by golly, we're going to get our point said, and we're going to do what we want to do, and we're going to put it forward, and we're going to try to convince you that we're right. I'm speaking about myself, of course, but you probably all wouldn't do that. But he is defining church here as a universal body. People all over the world who believe in Christ. That is the universal body. But here's the other part. Each of us, each of you, and you may struggle with this, each of us, each of you have a unique gift, a unique natural talent that you may have developed through education, but maybe not. Maybe it's just so natural. When these women sing, I want to open my mouth and sing like that. But that's not my gift. I hear it in my head like that. I say, oh, that's me, but it's not my gift. But God can use people in different ways. And what I ask you to do is this week, pray to God and say, what is my gift? Because you may think you know what your gift is, and God may have a totally different view of what your gift is. And then once you have some answers about that, say, God, what is it you want me to do with this gift? Because that too may be totally different than what you are experiencing. Through the church, this universal body, we are empathizing also with others. That's sort of something that we are directed to do. Someone who no longer is attending church here because they are unable to, they are going to be in away from here. And one of the things that they said to me as they were leaving is, they said, I'm going to miss all of you. I'm going to miss you. And they said, but I really haven't given anything to the church for a very long time. I've just come and sat in the pew. Oh, please, please help me. Help me so that people, the body of Christ, no one in the body of Christ will ever feel that they have to do something to be a part of this body of Christ. Sitting in the pew and worshiping God, of being here and being reverent and being next to people, even allowing people to bring you when you can't come on your own. There is a reason that you are here. And please never let us feel like we could have given more or compare ourselves to someone who volunteers 20, 30 hours a week in this place. Maybe that's not your gift. Maybe that's not what God is calling you to do. Maybe it's what they're being called to do. But the other thing is, if there's no joy in the gift of giving, of what you're giving, don't do it. I don't believe that Jesus wants you to do that. Jesus wants you to be joy-filled. And if it becomes a job, that's certainly not what Jesus Christ wants for you. So I ask that the things of the Spirit be considered. Because here's the other thing. He led us, Jesus led us and taught us how to be his body. How to be his body of life through love in this world. It is not by chance that we are here as a faith family. It is not by chance that sometimes we disagree. It is not by chance that we move forward and do great works that seem very small. But God does not measure how much you are doing. God measures how you do it and with what spirit and heart you do it. Paul used that metaphor of the body to illustrate interdependence. We depend on each other. We lose our passion for the church, for Christ's body, if we are preoccupied too much with our own issues. Our witness will be drowned. The same is for the local church, and the differences must be respected, but without bitterness and or pride. A spirit-filled woman or man or teen or child bears fruit. That's how we know, because of the fruit bearing. If you walk closely with God, people will know it. You can fake that for a while, but not forever. People will know. And from a God-given gift, you can give so much. You can give so much. Because I know that some of you are already exhausted with all of your giving in the church and beyond these walls. But I want you to know this, lest you forget. It is the Spirit of God that works in you and gives you what you need, the energy, the stamina, the joy. If it is in accord with what God's call is upon your life. Pastors aren't the only ones that have calls. You all have a call too. We may not all know what that holy call is, but depend on the Spirit who is life. We are to build each other up with our gifts and to bring unity. And in chapter 13 in 1 Corinthians, he's going to tell you what's the one thing that's going to bind it. Love. When our daughter and granddaughter came in here last week, and others from other churches that have come to visit that I've served before, they all said the same thing. They felt love here that they never felt anywhere else. Not to this degree, not to this depth. And they don't even know you the way I do. So just know that love will bind us together. The Spirit of life will give us life. And look and pray to God and say, what is my gift for the church, for the unity of the body of Christ? Amen. This time is holy to our God. And if you experience the urging of God to come forward and unite with us in this risen Christ body, come, let us welcome you and accept you into the circle of love. Please come forward because we invite you wholeheartedly. We will wait and sing our hymn of invitation to unite with you in this body of Christ, number 490, verses 1 and 3. just 1 and 3. Sister, let me be your servant. You may be seated. I read to you from Holy Scripture for the invitation to this table. It is from 1 Corinthians 10, 16 through 17. The cup of blessing that we bless, is it not a sharing in the blood of Christ? The bread that we break, is it not a sharing of the body of Christ? Because there is one bread, we who are many are one body. For we all partake of the one body, one bread. Jesus is the one that invites all to share in this cup and this bread. Jesus is the one who willingly laid down his life for each one of us. Prepare to receive the cup of mercy and the bread of life as we sing hymn number 393, One Bread, One Body, verses 1 and 2.
Heavenly Father, we come to this table, a central element of our worship this Sunday morning, with praise and thanksgiving. We are grateful for the gift of life. As we see the beginning of another week, we break bread, asking that in this act of worship, it may become more meaningful in each of our lives. We need you, God, not only in moments of communion, but also in our daily lives as we dedicate ourselves to you. In your holy name we pray, amen.
Heavenly Father, we come to you today in humility and gratitude for our many blessings. Thank you for your abiding presence within us and for the reminders of your presence all around us, the beauty of summer, a nourishing and life-giving rain, and the Christians who surround us today. Thank you for the cup of salvation that we are about to receive. And thank you for your Son, Jesus Christ, and his sacrifice on the cross for all people, everywhere, and for all time. As we endeavor to strengthen our relationship to you, in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
On the night that our Lord and Savior was betrayed, he gathered his disciples together. He took bread, gave thanks to God for it, and he broke it and he gave it to them, saying, "Take, eat, this is my body given for you. Do this in remembrance of me." And in like manner, he took the cup and he blessed it and he said, "Drink from this, all of you, for this is my blood of the new covenant, which is poured out for the forgiveness of sin. As often as you do this in remembrance of me." For as often as we drink of the cup and eat of the bread, we proclaim the Lord's life, death, and resurrection until he comes again. As we prepare to leave this part of the body of Christ and to go out into the world, let us sing a hymn that says part of what we've been talking about from Scripture this morning: "Blessed be the tie that binds. It is our Lord and Savior, it is love." And so we're going to sing hymn number 433, both verses. It's very short, but it's beautiful. And if you'll stand, then I will bless you after the singing. I ask that you allow me to bless you and hold these crosses so that when you take them, you remember that they have been among the body of Christ, so that you're never alone, and in your greatest joy and your darkest night, hold on to the cross, because he is always with you and this body is always with you. So if you will bow your hearts into your soul and allow me to bless you, I would be privileged. I bless you in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. As we leave this place of sanctuary where this part of the body of our risen Christ was made known to us, may we remember that this day is holy to the Lord. May we rejoice in the strength of God and God's sharing of that strength with us. May we fix our eyes on the grace of Christ. And may we always drink deeply of the Spirit of God who makes us one. Peace and grace to you all, beloved of God and beloved of me. Amen.